Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from thehammerspeaks.com, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just two Daves talking all the Steelers football you could ever want. And now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast. This is Dave Bryan from SteelersDepot.com. This is a special podcast with training camp going on. It is Saturday, and the Steelers just wrapped up their second on-field practice. It's day three of training camp. I'm pleased to be joined by friend of the Terrible Podcast, Mark Cabali from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. Mark, welcome back to the Terrible Podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me, Dave.
Mark, first of all, I gotta hand it to you today, and listeners, if you're not following Mark on Twitter, Mark Cabali _ Trib, he had a Plaxico Burress watch going today that was pretty epic. And Mark, first of all, you're taking to Twitter real well, man. What do you think of it?
Yeah, it's kind of new for me, but I actually had fun with it today a little bit. Being a little bit of a stalker, seeing, trying to find out where Plexco was, what he was doing, who he was talking to, facial expressions, and basically in real time, too, for the people who were following it on Twitter, as I was seeing and I was relaying it on to everybody. So it's been quite an interesting new medium I'm getting used to here. So I had fun. I hope everybody else liked it.
Yeah, I think we all did. I think you're going to pick up a lot of followers because of it. Let's talk about Plexco a little bit here. You know, I'm with you. I thought maybe they were going to announce a new deal any minute there, the way you were kind of reporting things there, him going upstairs with Colbert and Omar Khan and all. But, you know, he ended up leaving. So what's your thoughts right now with him scheduled to visit the 49ers and the Jets right now? Where do you think things stand with that?
I think what it is, I think Plex really wants to be here. I think the management wants him. The coaches want him. The players, every single one of them, lobbied for him. But as you know more than anybody, they're really tight against this cap, and I don't know if they're going to be able to free up money, and money is going to be a big issue with Plexico, I think. I think maybe not who throws the biggest money at him is going to get him, but I don't know if even the Steelers can be in the same ballpark as what some teams might offer him, which could just take the choice out of Plexico's hands. He might have no choice but not to come here, even though he wants to. I mean, there's such things as hometown discounts or whatsoever, but, you know, that's a lot of money they might have to give him, and I don't know where they'd get it. I guess they could restructure a couple. They'd have to release people like maybe a Swede or whatnot, but that's a tough number. And I think it's just going to come down to money. It just might come down to if they can free up enough money to make him happy, maybe with some incentives into that, then he can get here. If not, he's going to go to the highest price bidder.
Yeah, especially with Drew Rosenhaus as his agent there. Let me theorize this with you, and I've mentioned this before on the podcast, and I think I blogged about it as well. You know, Emmanuel Sanders, he missed time today, and, of course, he's coming off of 2 foot surgeries. Do you think that there is some concern there this offseason that is what kind of led to this interest in Plexico? Because really, you know, the signing really doesn't make that much sense to throw, you know, hardly any money in him, you know, to come and be like a number four receiver. Do you think that you know, the Sanders injury might be of some concern to them?
It might not be the Sanders injury per se, but it might be a Sanders injury along with an aging Hines Ward, along with that, and still an inconsistent Antonio Brown as well. It could be a bunch of things, but I'm with you there. I think if you're throwing an upwards of $5 million a year at somebody, maybe you should look at a tackle or two or some help maybe in the corner or something. It just seems like a position that they don't need. However, maybe they're looking down the road till next year, too. Maybe they ask Hines Ward to leave after this year, too, and Plex does become probably a same type of option as a Hines Ward, at least in money-wise. So I'm not quite sure what their thinking is when they do have other needs. I mean, they don't have a backup nose tackle. They don't have really much of a backup tight end, maybe other than David Johnson, their second corner suspect. Their safeties are behind their starters, probably aren't that experienced. So like I said, I think they might be able to use their money somewhere else. But as Kevin Colbert said today, if they can acquire somebody who they think is going to help this team, they're going to do that. And obviously they think Plex can help.
Yeah, we mentioned the salary cap there, and Kevin talked about it today. And, you know, by my unprofessional numbers, which are guesstimations, even after all the moves, I don't know all the rookie draft pick numbers thus far. But, you know, they had like almost a $4 million allotment, I think, to that is what ESPN reported. I kind of theorize Cologne will count 2.7 against a cap. So right there, that's already almost three and four. That's almost another $7 million, and that's not counting Ike Taylor, whatever that was, Jonathan Scott, and Sean Swisham as well. So we could be back in a situation. I had them right at the number prior to all these moves. I think they're back at probably around $10 million over the number right now. Could you see that being the case right now?
Very well. I'd have to defer to you on that because you're much better with these numbers than me, and I think you might be right in Kevin Colbert's office, Omar Khan's office. Look at these numbers. I trust you on those ones. He definitely did say that they're still over the cap. $10 million seems like a big number right now, but you know they're going to have to restructure guys, and they probably already have restructures in place, but they're not going to announce these restructures until at least Wednesday, if at all. Because, as you know, the new CBA, the new calendar doesn't start till Thursday. And if there's a contract restructure, that player cannot play practice until Thursday. You can get around that by restructuring it Wednesday after practice. But there's going to have to be a lot of restructuring going on. And definitely Kevin Colbert alluded to this today. If they do bring on somebody like Plex, there's going to have to be a significant cut coming up here. I know in the first couple of days of practice, Ziggy Hood has basically shared time with Aaron Smith. I don't know if that's working Aaron in lightly, but man, that's $6 million right there, maybe against the cap, according to your numbers. That's a lot of money for one guy who's in the waning days of his career. But hey, Kevin Colbert, Omar Khan, Omar is one of the best at the business. If he can work this out, you would believe he's going to try to work this out with minimal damage. But as we saw already, they got rid of three high-priced guys, and that number is still there. So Kevin looks kind of stressed today, but he got a couple more days to work this number out.
Yeah, and that's a great point. And I really didn't think about this all along with the extensions and all like that, but it does make sense to hold off on those. Like you said, they probably have them in place and just not ready to file them so those players can continue practicing. Do you how positive are you that Lamar Woodley will be one of those extensions? You feeling pretty good about that?
I actually asked Kevin that exact question today if that's a priority, and he basically said that would obviously he said that would help. He's going to try to do anything to get that number down. He didn't go and say that we'll have this done by Monday or Tuesday, but that's obviously an option that has to be in place because you would figure that cap number would come down significantly if that take that $10 million hit off the boards right now. So you would think after all these draft picks are in, he did his due diligence on his Plexico, maybe he has to turn to Woodley right now and try to get that. I mean, hey, once again, he's in that same boat as we were talking about before. Maybe a deal has been in place, but, you know, Woodley, if Woodley's re-signed to a deal right now, he has to sit out until Thursday too. So maybe the Steelers are holding off until that day because they're missing a lot of players, a lot of their quality players for a first week of camp, and that's been kind of taxing for Mike Tomlin. It should be interesting tomorrow when they finally put the pads on and actually hit and see what some of these rookie guys. It's going to look like a first preseason game in the fourth quarter out there tomorrow because you're not going to recognize too many people.
Yeah, there are a lot of youngins running around right there. I agree with you. I did an interview that's going to be after this part of the interview with you on the podcast with Maury Brown from businessofsportsnetwork.com. He's a kind of a guru at this CBA salary cap stuff and all, and I was asking him about these post-lockout cuts and all, and I was asking, is that rule in play where normally you would just take, you can stretch out those dead money over 2 years? He seems to think that that dead money, none of it will be eaten this year, that it all rolls into 2012. Have you heard anything along those lines? Do you know if they're having to eat the dead, any portion of the dead money this year on guys like Starks and Randall L., or have you heard anything along those lines?
I actually haven't, but that's a good point to bring up there. Maybe next time I see Kevin Colbert walking around, I'll ask him that. He's the type of guy that you can approach him, you know, at any time and just ask him a question. He actually welcomes that so you can get the information correct. So maybe I will, next time I see him, I'll ask him about that dead money. But for myself, I really don't know.
Yeah, that would be great. A junior capologist wannabe like me would love to know something about that. And that can make a big difference because you're talking about, you know, what, about $2 million for Starks and another, forget what it is, another $300,000 or so for Randall L. You know, you're talking about $2.3 worth of dead money right there alone. And if there's another cut coming, who knows, you know, and they could roll that over into next year. So that'll be interesting. Let's talk a little bit about what you've seen in football and shorts thus far in a day and a half of practice. Anybody in particular that's sticking out thus far to you, Mark?
Well, yesterday was a total wash because a tremendous thunderstorm came through and washed out the only team portion of the practice, so we basically saw nothing yesterday. Today, the fields are still too wet, so they had to move down to the one field turf field, which is trying to put 90 people on 100-yard football field. It's very difficult to see, but a couple people I did notice today was Baron Batch. Baron Batch looked pretty good. In a third down roll, a little 7-on-7, made a nice catch out of a backfield, made a move. He took a toss on the third down on team drills, made a couple moves, looks pretty fast. I know rookie free agent Anthony Gray, nose tackle, mammoth guy. I haven't seen much of him on the field yet, but I've heard a lot of people talking about his strength. Word is that he can bench in excess of 525 and squat more than 800 pounds. So I can't wait to see him put the pads on and knock things around tomorrow. But Lima Swede, he looks good at times, looks bad at times, but not much other than that. That offensive line is just who's who. Not a who's who. I guess the opposite of a who's who. I don't even know who's on there yet. So it was very choppy the first 2 days. We'll see. We'll probably get a better read on this tomorrow when it's actually practice, maybe on main field.
How did some of those young corners, Cresden Butler, Cortez Allen, Curtis Brown, Keenan Lewis, how those guys kind of looking out there?
Keenan Lewis, I can believe he has a chance to start this year. I talked to him today, and he you think about it, he had a tremendous camp last year, had a good first preseason game, then went into Denver and just imploded, and it just messed with him mentally, and he rode the pine the rest of the year. They like what the guy can do, and I think he made a couple plays today. He looks like he could be maybe pushing Brian McFadden for that other spot. Cresden Butler started a little bit in the nickel today. Still hard to see because they're so condensed on one field today. All the other people weren't really even noticeable. So there's one other guy that made a couple plays today, an undrafted guy out of West Virginia, West Lions. Steelers need a 6'6 receiver. There's one for you right there, but not much other than that so far, Dave.
Let's talk about some guys that kind of sucking it up. I guess Lima Swede, with the inconsistency there, especially at this hamstring injury, if there's anything to that, this is the last thing that guy needs is to miss any time right now. Outside of him, anybody else that you just say, oh, my God, who's out? Why is this guy out here?
Probably the entire offensive line. I think somebody like Keith Williams, that sixth-round pick out of Nebraska, He doesn't even get to visit the team after he gets drafted. His first arrival on the Southside facility was Monday. Spent a couple days there, and all of a sudden Friday, he's the starting guard in the first team practice. His head has to be swirling. I mean, there's a couple people out there that you know shouldn't be there because of the 90 players or the 89 players they have out here right now. You know, that's just the CBA rule. I'm not quite sure why they even extended 90. I guess it gives 300 some players extra jobs, but it gives 300 extra pit players to get cut here in about 3 weeks too. So I'm telling you, Dave, I'm telling you, it looks like a preseason game when you're out there looking. Not much work from the ones. A lot of people you have never heard of before.
I hear you mentioned Baron Batch, and he's a fan favorite before even camp started. There's not another third down back right now with Mawelde Moore being not in camp, unrestricted free agent and all, and might not even be back at this point. It looks like I guess that kid's got a real good shot at winning this third down role, doesn't he?
The only other possibility would be Isaac Redman, and I'm not quite sure how he does out of the backfield. He played some of that role that last year. I talked to Baron Batchelor after the practice, and he basically said, I got a pretty good shot here. Unless they bring somebody else in who, once again, money study that doesn't look like that way, you can't give Mendenhall, you can't play him three downs all the time. He needs a rest here and there. You're going to have Redmond as your number two right now. There are some kids behind him. I know the Clay kid out of Wisconsin, he's not a third down back. Jonathan Dwyer looks overwhelmed again. He looks out of shape and not ready. So by default, it might be Baron Batch, but after he starts playing a little bit, it might be actually a good thing. Maybe they might have gotten a steal in Baron Batch. He looked pretty quick and pretty nice today. So maybe they're thinking Baron Batch is the man. And we'll be able to tell in the first preseason game or not if they think they need to make a move. If that third down back is a concern, they'll bring somebody in. I mean, whether it is even bringing them, whether they're more back in for a reduced rate. So right now, it is Baron Batch's job to lose, I believe.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Daniel Graham was over there today for a visit, tight end from the Broncos, former number one draft pick from the Patriots. He kind of seems like a good fit for that offense there. Now, of course, we won't hear a signing on him probably until all the other stuff gets taken care of. But you think that's a strong possibility of him signing?
It could be. I mean, he would like to use three tight ends a lot. Right now, they only really have two with any experience with David Johnson. They like to use David Johnson more of an H-back type of guy, a guy who can block out of the backfield. They don't really use him much as a second tight end who can catch around the goal line. I know Spate, they use him mostly as a blocker as well, but he could catch. So they definitely need somebody here who can actually catch a ball tight end. So maybe that's why they brought Daniel Graham in. And Dave, you being a big Steelers fan, you'll enjoy this. Walking out of St. Benedict Hall right now with none other than Mean Joe Green. So am I making you jealous yet?
Yes, you are. You know how to rub it in, don't you? That is awesome.
Look, he's looking good. He's looking good.
That is awesome. That is great. My listeners will get a kick out of that as well. I'm getting goosebumps right now. Mark, as always, man, you're a great friend of a terrible podcast. I want to check in with you more during training camp, but I don't want to eat up too much of your time tonight. Listeners, if you're not following Mark on Twitter, Mark Cabali _Trib. The guy's getting a handle with Twitter real well. The guy is a great writer, has great write-ups in the paper there that you can see online. I link to a lot of his stuff as well. So, Mark, I appreciate you checking in with us, and let's do it again next week.
Anytime, Dave, anytime.
Welcome back to the Terrible Podcast. This is Dave Bryan. It's Saturday, and it's day three of Steelers training camp in Latrobe. I'm pleased to be joined on the line by Maury Brown, the owner of the Business of Sports Network. You can visit his site at businessofsportsnetwork.com. Also, a site underneath that family is bizoffootball.com. And Maury is an expert in contracts and salaries and things related to the CBA and all. And Maury, welcome to the Terrible Podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Maury, let's get right to it here. I've got a couple of questions. I'm a bit of a junior capologist, wannabe blogger, and I know a lot of my readers and listeners have a lot of questions as far as the salary cap goes. I have a lot of questions. Let me clear up one thing first that's on everybody's mind, and it's the releases of players right now. Now, I think prior to the lockout, those players that released, their salary cap hits can be pushed off into 2012. Is that correct?
Yeah, as I understand it, that's currently the way that we're, that this will be handled moving forward with the new agreement.
Okay, now what about players that were cut after the lockout? Is there a June 1st rule still in effect that is stretched out over 2011 or and 2012, or will a full cap dead money hit all be pushed off to 2012?
As I understand it, and this is like you said, some of this stuff is still actually the actual particulars around some of this is still actually not been released. But as I understand it, it's the latter, as you mentioned, it'll be pushed off. Now, there are, like you said, there's some exemptions going on within the cap structure that are going on, but that's mostly around the free agency space as part of the Brady settlement process. And look, there's a CBA discussion going on today. I mean, you formalized the deal, but it is in, you know, and the agreement was reach, but in full principle, that's in just in principle, and 100%-ness, it'll be several months before we see the actual CBA released.
Okay, so for a real life scenario here, Max Starks was cut by the Steelers the other day. He still had 2 years left on his contract and I believe around $4 million in signing bonus money to be accounted for. So in a normal June 1st post-cut year, they would have had to pay $2 million this year and $2 million next year as dead money. So what you're saying is none of that would hit this year. It would be a $4 million hit dead money next year, or would that be stretched out even further?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question in the sense that a lot of this, like I said, right now is kind of being formulated and whatnot. I think that you're probably right in the sense that it won't be a dead hit. I don't know. Now, of course, it was the in-cap season, so some of this stuff I think was probably on the minds of the players as they negotiated and said, look, you know, if you're going to get into this situation, you should be preparing yourself to when we get into a cap year and be able to make your adjustments. But like you said, it is one of those things right now where I think we're still kind of looking at the particulars around it.
Okay, what would you do as a junior capologist right now? Would you go ahead and credit $2 million dead hit this year and next year, or would you push it off until next year?
If I was a junior capologist, I think I would probably, the former, I'd probably split it in the sense that you're going to probably have more cost certainty and you don't know exactly how this is going to play out. I mean, I think a lot of this, what's going on right now, and this is something that I don't care if you're a veteran GM that's been around, this is an unprecedented period of time in the NFL. We've never seen anything like this before. I don't know if we'll ever see anything like this again. It's just a mad scramble with a whole bunch of new rules in place around how this is happening. My suggestion, I guess, would be this. There's so much technicality going on, and not to plug Biz of Football, but if you go to bizoffootball.com, and I don't believe it's the top story, it's down a couple posts, but it's the entire text from a presentation that was given to all player agents last week. And that text gets into all of the minutia around how free agency is going to function. Now, look, that was 33 pages. I mean, it was a considerable amount to absorb, and that was just a PowerPoint presentation. And then above that, there are three sections of the language in the actual CBA that kind of frame around that, around player contracts. So there's a lot going on right now, and like I said, I think that what you're starting to see is, people, the clubs are trying to set themselves up for free agency. I mean, I've never seen a mad frenzy in all my time following sports. I've never seen a frenzy like this before, and I don't know if we'll see one again, after.
Yeah, I agree. I'm 43 years old, been following the NFL for a long time, and I'm with you. This has just been a crazy period in free agency. Even on Twitter, it's almost next to impossible to follow everything around the league, hard enough following the Steelers stuff alone. Let's move on to the rookie, the draft pick salaries. Rookies can have to be signed to four-year contracts this year, with the first-rounders having the option of the fifth. Normally, the Steelers have liked to do three-year contracts on their players rounds 3 through 7. But let's look at the base salaries when trying to figure out a contract on that. The minimum base, of course, for this year, I believe, is $375,000. But how does the escalation on a base salary of a four-year deal of, say, a sixth or seventh round draft pick, I thought it just went along the line of the minimums, which is, 2011 for second-year players, $465,000, and then, on down. But evidently it doesn't go that way. Is there a rule on the escalation of not only the rookie draft pick signings, but maybe a restructure as well you can incite me to?
Yeah, I mean, the big thing is that, and this is kind of, you know, you're not going to get any numbers right now, but it's going to move with the cap. So, I mean, you're going to have an escalation based upon the percentage of how that moves. And so you're using averaging of players of like position across, you know, service time. That kind of was the basis for how that structure got set. But there is language in the CBA that will say, you know, it then changes based upon where we are in the percentage of the cap and how that cap moves. So it is going to be one of those things that's going to be a moving target as we move forward in consecutive years. You basically only have what we know now, which is this coming season, and the clubs will be able to sign based upon that. But then, of course, they'll have to restructure and redefine as it's based upon how revenues come in for the league over the coming season.
So how would a rookie four-year contract break down, you know, when they announce a deal being, say, 2.1 or whatnot, plus, you know, say about a $30,000 signing or $50,000 signing bonus on a late-round guy? Of course, their base for this year would be $375,000. Is there a percentage how it would step up in that contract for a capologist to follow, or do all we need to worry about is just a $375,000 base for this year plus the prorated portion of the signing bonus?
Yeah, it's probably going to be the latter on that. And like I said, as it moves forward, that is the thing that we're going to have to try and look at. You know, and I'm not sitting with the language in front of me right now, but as I understand it, that would probably be how it would work.
Okay, so just to clarify, $375,000 is the base for this year, and that's all rookies. Is that correct?
That would be based upon the position where they are in terms of where they slotted in terms of their selections.
Okay.
So that's your low base. But of course that moves up depending upon where they were selected in terms of how long, you know, the years and whether they get an option year depends upon where they are in terms of where they were selected within the draft.
Okay. That clarifies a little bit. As far as these exclusive rights free agents, okay, say you have a guy like Doug Legursky that has 3 years accrued right now, would that mean that his minimum salary right now would be around the $600,000 stage, being he was a 3 year accrued exclusive rights free agent?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, right now I don't have it in front of me. If you went, like you said, to BusinessFootball.com and scroll down, there's a table that we have that breaks out all of this and has this per that. And like I said, there's a number of floating factors in the midst of all this. I'm trying to do an individual play right now. Off the top of my head's a bit tough, sorry.
Okay, and there's no more 30% rule, is that correct? Because the Steelers were not able to, you know, kind of work on getting Lamar Woodley extended last year and all, and he ended up with the franchise tag, of course, because of, you know, the 30% rule. And that's out the door now, right?
That is correct. And so that was kind of a fundamental change that we saw around this time. And I would say that was probably a win for the owners.
I hear you. Is there anything else that I've kind of missed? You know, I know the $3 million credits are in play, and from what I understand, Kevin Colbert said today that the Steelers are going to take advantage of all three of those $1 million credits, and those, of course, is really borrowed money for and gets paid back over, I think it's 2014 to 2017, amortized that way. From what I understand, most of the teams in the league are going to take advantage of that. Is there anything else that I'm kind of missing here in the new CBA as far as, you know, a junior capologist would be concerned?
No, I mean, I think you hit on the main points. I mean, I guess I would look at it this way. I mean, one of the things that's going to be really interesting, it was interesting in talking at different, of course, we're talking Steelers, but we'll talk about the Bucs in Tampa Bay. You know, there was a lot of talk right when the deal went down. I was on radio about, you know, are they going to be able to make any moves? You know, they've really kind of pared back, and how are they going to do this? And they went out and made a huge splash and spent quite a bit. And so I think the thing that's been most interesting to watch through all of this is that there's a great deal of unknown in the sense that just the general structure of the league right now and how clubs are going to go and frame their payrolls over time is considerably different than it was certainly last year when we had an uncapped season and we actually saw teams pull back, right? I mean, I think there was a lot of concern that there was going to be overspending. We were going to have wild parity disparity in terms of spending. But what we really wound up happening was we had team owners pulling back and saying, let's go ahead and be more careful and more crafted in how they are. But in terms of something to kind of discuss around this, you know, revenues is the key thing in all of this, right? How much money is going to be able to be spent, teams, and how teams are basically going to move forward and how they feel the health of the league are. And if there was ever any indication right now that this deal isn't just a windfall in some senses, and that there's a real love for football across America, it's how the spending and how this is going to go as we start to see, you know, the free agency signings happen. So I would really fan. I mean, we're just at the very tip of this, starting at this. You watch over the next few days. I imagine it's going to be crazier than we saw, you know, basically when we saw these undrafted, you know, free agents move around, and basically when we see our trades. Watch how things are going to be over the next few days.
Okay, well, that's good information. So basically, it's causing hell for us junior capologists to try to keep up with all these changes. And I expect you'll be posting more about this on the bizoffootball.com site as well, as you get more clarity on it as well, correct?
You betcha. We sure will.
All right. Well, Maury, we certainly do appreciate you joining the Terrible Podcast, and I plan on having you on again sometime to clarify some things that you know. And for those that are curious, it's Maury Brown. He's the owner of the Business of Football, I mean, Business of Sports Network. Can be found at businessofsportsnetwork.com, and his other site underneath that family is thebizoffootball.com. Maury, we appreciate you taking time on a busy Saturday here to join us on the Terrible Podcast.
Hey, no problem. Have yourself a good day.